our very own Braves reporter and insider and host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, joining us here on the show. Grant, we just had Rusty Manziel in studio with us. He's looking for some good vibes, good luck on the Braves side of things. You think you can do that for him?
Goodness, that's a tall order at times this year, but at other times it feels like maybe this is a club that can put some things together, but it really depends on the day, the series. Maybe that day's starting pitcher for the other team. I don't really know what all the factors are, but certainly we've seen some a bit of a roller coaster ride this year.
We definitely have. They were able to bounce back and beat the Reds 7-1. Do you think they can keep this momentum? Because they're now within two games of the Mets and Diamondbacks for the final NL wildcard spot.
Yeah, I don't even really know.
I
can call it momentum, it is what the weird thing is, because it's hard to describe it, because it's not like this is a club that doesn't have the pitching to be competitive every single game. I mean, they've proven that time and time and time and time again, that the pitching is there, but the offense has been the question. But I will say, in looking at what has gone right at times for this club, especially lately, I mean, obviously Marcell Ozuna breaking his homerless drought last night was a good thing. He's still been getting his hits and taking some walks and getting on base, but the homers and the runs batted in, it kind of dried up on him. But Matt Olson has been swinging the bat extremely well since the end of July. That's a plus. Jorge Soler started to show some signs. I think we're seeing a little something from Michael Harris. And then you get Ozzie Albies coming in. So if you want to talk about momentum, you get that group of five right there going, and then whatever you can get from the bottom of the order, and it's a tall task, and it's a lot to ask for some of these guys who are kind of pressed into duty. I think you could have at least enough offense to consistently give yourself a chance to do something given the pitching that you have, and no better example than the kind of things we've seen from Spencer Schwellenbach this year. That's been a great surprise. Obviously, Chris Sale, who goes this afternoon trying to give the Braves a much-needed series win in Cincinnati, can take another step toward his first Cy Young in his career. That's a great story for the Braves. But offensively, I mean, these questions just continue to just remain prevalent and remain at the front of everything you talk about with the Braves is, yeah, but can they score enough to actually get rolling?
Well, Grant, I'm gonna. I hate two-part questions, but I'm gonna ask you a two-part question.
Here we go.
Because I can't help myself.
Yeah.
First off, let's talk about Ozzie and him coming back, hitting from just the right side of the plate, and what that's gonna be about for him, and also where he would fit
into
the lineup.
That was my question.
I know, and I told you I was gonna ask him.
Well, I mean, the first part is probably the only real, I think, question mark that really needs to be addressed is, you know, what's this going to look like for him? And I know that Ozzie's had a lot of success in his career batting right-handed. I've had people for 5 or 6 years saying, we should just give up switch hitting because his numbers are so much better from the right side. But you have to understand, once you start to get a bigger sample size facing right on right and dealing with all of the movements of all those pitches and all those things, it's going to normalize somewhat, but obviously he's great from the right side. So giving this a shot and doing whatever you can, for that matter, for the team to try to give him a boost, obviously Ozzie and the Braves are comfortable with this enough to go out there and try it. He went 4-for-8 in the minors, half of that against lefties, half of it against righties, 2 more hits last night. So I think that you feel pretty good about it. And the fact that he sat around for a couple of months and homered in his first game back. So clearly there's at least enough strength there to hit the ball hard. And that's what you needed to see in the brief couple of games he's played down in Gwinnett. He should rejoin the club in Miami. Obviously, he's going to plug right into second base. And then the question will become, what do you do with some of the other pieces? Because you got Gio Urshela, who's played a very nice third base, defensively speaking, hasn't brought you a lot of offense. You've got Orlando Arcia, whose offense has been night and day different than it was a year ago. And quite frankly, as I've said, and as I posted on social the other day, the ball will find you. He has struggled so mightily with runners in scoring position, and it feels like there's an at-bat every single game that the Braves are either tight, close, or behind. And it's Orlando Arcia with 2 men on and 2 men out, and then what's he going to do? And it hasn't been particularly good this year by and large. So could you move Whit Merrifield to third, move Gio Urshela to short because he has played there? You could. I don't think he can play Merrifield in the outfield right now. I know Mark Bowman talked to Merrifield yesterday, and he said that, you know, with the broken foot, covering a whole bunch of ground in the outfield for 9 innings, I don't think is really going to be a thing they're going to try. So those are the options for them. You've got, you know, 9 or 10 games here to go down the stretch, 10 games to go, including this afternoon's. How many moves, how many changes can you make, and how many of them will really give you a lot of substance down the stretch? Or if you just reach the point where you might as well try it, and kind of like a mad scientist style. But Brian Snitker's options are pretty slim, but getting Ozzie Albies back, I think, is nothing but a net positive.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Grant, no matter what happens in the next 10 games and beyond, I will say this. One of the biggest takeaways I will have from this season is the performance of Spencer Schwellenbach. And yep. He's just not a guy that has pitched a ton, honestly, in just his life. But, you know, he's never reached the innings count he has this year. He said last night after the game, it just feels like a new wave at this point. Like, he feels good. I mean, what can we credit to that? I don't know that we've seen anything quite like him. I don't know how the numbers stack up historically, but, man, he just seems like a guy that he's got such a bright future.
Yeah, he does. And I don't know that there's a lot of, especially empirical evidence that says, oh, well, if you have a pitcher who's thrown X amount of innings this year, then he can only throw X amount or Y amount the next year to get to Z in the third year. Like, that doesn't work. It's not an algebra equation, I think. And I know there's a lot of pitchers, the, you know, older wave of pitchers from previous generations that say, you just got to go out there and keep throwing and consistently do it. And I think that that's a big thing about it. Nothing has proven that shutting a guy down is going to help his development, certainly. I think we've learned that a time or three. And nothing says that, hey, because you shut him down, you're now going to avoid the injury that would have happened had he been out there, because it doesn't seem to be a way to avoid an injury. I mean, it's kind of an inevitability. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. When is the question? And the answer to that is any pitcher can get hurt anytime he goes on the mound because it's an unnatural motion. And that is what creates the problem. But getting back to Spencer Schwellenbach, and to make a long story short, nobody saw this coming in spring training. A lot of folks were high on him. A lot of people expected him to, you know, factor into the future. But what he's done last night, surpassing 150 innings on the season after throwing just 65 professional innings his first year and just over 30 in his collegiate career, this is a whole new level for Spencer Schwellenbach. And the way he's done it, adding pitches to his arsenal and just attacking the strike zone, I mean, it's made him successful, and it's carved out a spot in the rotation, I think, and a very interesting discussion to have about if you do get to October or when you do, where's Spencer Schwellenbach going to be? What's his role? Because it's pretty obvious that he has helped the Braves do what they've done all season long, stabilize that rotation, and I think some more important innings are going to be in front of him, not just this year, but also in the future, because he's certainly shown that he's more than capable.
Grant, when it comes to Marcell Ozuna, do you get a sense of maybe some relief because he ended his home run drought, which was at 26 games, and he got a blast last night?
Yeah, and teeing off on a 3-0 pitch. I mean, that's in some cases low-hanging fruit, but he felt like he was going to get a fastball groove to him, and he did not miss it. I mean, it hit it to the deepest part of the ballpark. It just got out, but a homer's a homer, and I think he felt pretty good about that. And, you know, Marcell has put the Braves on his back over the course of this season, so the fact that he slowed down a little bit here in September, I mean, can you really fault the guy? I mean, he's been at it pretty much all year. He knocked in a couple of runs last night, got to 100 on the season, so two straight 100 RBI campaigns for him. That's a big deal. So if he, again, as I talked about earlier, you know, get Marcell back and going. Jorge Soler has looked very good over the last week and a half. And then Matt Olson has been really, I mean, he's got an OPS just under 950 in his past 46 games and has started to drive in runs again. That's the makings of a good heart of the order. And if the Braves can, you know, set the table a little bit for that group, you have to feel pretty good about the chances that they could do some special things, or at least, as Brian Snitker has said many, many times, just get on a run.
Yeah, it's crazy to think Matt Olson could actually finish with 100 RBIs this season. He's at 90
and 30
now.
Homers.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy where as bad as he's been at times or as bad as it's felt?
It's really unbelievable that's how his numbers
I think. I think he rolled into the All-Star break on pace for something like 22 homers and 71 or 73 RBI. I mean, like, it was – he had stalled out in the month of July. I think it was one of the worst, if not the worst, in his entire career. And here he is having just kind of – either made some adjustments or maybe just hit pause on all that stuff and just tried to simplify things, has gotten himself back on track.
Grant, I don't want to project the next season too much because I know we still have hopefully a whole pennant race to go in postseason, but Chris Sale's pitched like 170-something innings, I think, this year. A lot of that is reduced work because of the way they use kind of the six-man rotation throughout the season to keep him fresh, which has absolutely worked. There's nothing I think he can do to lose to Cy Young. Do you think the Braves, depending on what happens with Max Fried, who I think is gone, but and Morton, you think they would kind of use this type of strategy next year as well to try to keep him and some of the other guys like Renato Lopez as well fresh?
Yeah, I think there's some benefit to it, but you've got to have the right personnel. And I think they did have to rifle through several pitchers, you know, over the course of the year. We saw some of the the faces that would come and go, and I don't know if that's necessarily sustainable over 162, but for a first half that sets you up to have guys maybe a little fresher in the second half, they've probably shaved about, I would estimate, by the time we get to the end of the year, 20 to 30 innings conservatively off of Chris Sale's workload in the regular season. And I think they're looking at that as, well, we'd like to pay those forward into October and have him, you know, a little bit fresher. And there is something to be said for it. Whether or not they do it next year will depend largely on who they acquire, I think, in the offseason, because clearly there's going to be a couple of vacancies you just mentioned. Even if you plug in Spencer Schwellenbach and bring back Spencer Strider, I still feel like there's the need for one more very proven and really very good major league caliber starting pitcher that they're going to have to look for over the offseason to really fill that void and to make you feel like you can start to, whether it's A.J. Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop, Ian Anderson, obviously, we haven't seen at all this year, and I don't know if we will or not. We'll kind of see, and that's not no fault of his. I think it just has to do with the options. I mean, if they burn an option at this point for the entire year, I don't know that that's necessarily what they want to do. But putting that all aside, you got to have the right personnel, and that's going to be the big question of the winter.
Grant, where can we find From the Diamond this week?
You'll find me on Saturday from 4 to 6. We'll be talking about everything going on with this wild card race, the Braves, what they need to do over the final week and a half, and obviously the showdown with the New York Mets that is looming. And we'll also dig into some other stories going on across baseball, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the Detroit Tigers have all of a sudden put themselves in a position to potentially make it to October, and that didn't look like a thing about a month ago. So some very exciting stuff happening across baseball. You'll find it all on From the Diamonds right here on 92.9 The Game on Saturday from 4 to 6 and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, everyone.